Hello, Poke fans. Welcome to the Same Type Attack Bonus Podcast, or Stabcast for short, your twice-monthly look into the deeper world of Pokemon. I'm your host, Trainer Spike, and with me, as always, are my fellow trainers Slagkick,
Farfetch'd,
and Sulker.
Victory will never come to those who aren't prepared to face defeat.
Today is April 16th, 2017, and this is Stabcast Episode 16, Spike and Sulker's Spring Vacation.
Is that anything like Pikachu's Summer Vacation?
It is exactly like that. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of our venture into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. This week, myself and Trainer Sulker will be leading a discussion about our recent trip to the Land of the Pokies.
Oh my god, you went to Kanto and Johto and Sinnoh and Unova?
At least one of those places. This is sort of.
Kanto, because it's real.
But first, let's talk about our Poke Weeks, or Poke Months, as the case may be, as it's been a while since we've recorded last. Sulker, I'd like you to start.
Well, I'll skip everything that's going to happen in the later on discussions, which I'm not actually sure what I'll talk about then. But let's talk about Pokemon TCG cards, because I opened a bunch of those. I have, like, what was it, like, 8 GX cards now, but really the best one of the group is my Rainbow Foil Solgaleo card, so I'm pretty pleased with that. That's pretty much my biggest highlight. Watched some anime, cuddled some plush, you know, the usual things that a hate-filled person like me will do. What about you, Slag?
You know, my Pokemon's been a little bit on the lighter side. I feel like, especially in the video game world, I've been distracted by Zelda and things like that, so I'm definitely due for, like, maybe, I don't know, a mystery dungeon or something just to, you know, kind of keep my Poke Weeks and Poke Months a little more varied than they have been. And I kind of, I've missed out on some of the special events in Poke Go. I just haven't been out and about, really, so I haven't really been, you know, motivated to have Pokemon Go running, even with the, like, Water Festival, which I'm kind of disappointed in myself, but, you know, I've definitely been following what's been going on with PokeGo, of course, keeping up with the anime for the most part, and just really enjoying Sun and Moon anime, and that's about it for right now. What about you, Spike?
Excellent, excellent. Most of my Poke news this week would, or I should say most of my Poke week really would tie into the trip to Japan. So I am going to hit pause on that and instead move us into our Poke news, or Muse.
We have word here that there will be a new Pokemon Go event starting April 13th and running through April 20th, 2017. This one focuses on eggs and, obviously, egg puns based around Easter, like an egg-citing egg promo.
Ooh.
So it looks like there's going to be a greater variety of Pokemon that can now be found in the 2-kilometer eggs. No specifics as to what can be found in there, but this may get me playing and walking outside.
What's that?
I don't know. So it looks like you'll get additional candy for any Pokemon that hatches from an egg during this event, and lucky eggs will be 50% off in the game shop. And you'll also earn double XP for all activities during this time. So if you're sitting at the same level that you've been at for, like, 5 months, if you're me, this
or me,
a great way to potentially get some leveling in. Do you guys have any thoughts on this story?
I think it's really cool the way that they are continually doing seasonal events. I think it certainly keeps me coming back to PokeGo, which I think is fantastic. And I will probably make use of this during this work week. Slaggy, what about you?
Yeah, I think this will motivate me to get out as long as the weather cooperates and hatch some eggs and, you know, try to go to some Pokestops because I agree with you. I think it's a great way to keep the game kind of evergreen in a way when, in between, you know, big content releases like the Johto Pokemon and such. So, and that's another thing, too. Like, I still don't have very many Johto Pokemon whatsoever. So, I'm glad to see that they continue to do these things, and looking forward to what might be coming in future seasonal events.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we also have some news here that retailers that host official Play Pokemon pre-release tournaments will also be allowed to sell cards from the upcoming Guardians Rising Sun and Moon set as early as Monday, May 1st. The official launch date for this expansion set is Friday, May 5th, so if you have one of these stores near you, go check it out. You'll be able to get cards up about a week early.
Yes, wow. I want...
Yeah, that's right up your alley. And recently we got our first official look at Marshadow, introduced through the official Pokemon channels. And this is... all we really know so far is that Marshadow is coming to Sun and Moon at some point. Of course, as soon as we know any further details and specifics, we will keep you posted. But, you know, Marshadow's super cute, and as a ghost fighting type, that's a really cool combo, and... assuming all the stuff that's been data mined about Marshadow stays intact, really cool moveset, a lot of physical-based moves to go with its high attack score, so I'm hoping that everything that's been data mined stays true.
You know, it's funny because I haven't actually looked at any of the data information about it. I just know that it's a cute Pokey and I want it.
It's super cute. What do you think, Spike?
I think it's super cute and I'm really excited to learn more.
All right, Sulker, I believe you have some mega news for us.
So it looks like we're getting a release of 4 Megastones through Pokemon Sun and Moon. You'll need a Megastones password, which I can give you right now. It is Intimidate.
Oh, like what you do to me.
You know, if you describe that on the most basic level, sure. I prefer to think of it as terrorizing you. Regardless, you can get 4 Megastones this way for Pokemon Audino, Beedrill, Mawile, and I can't ever remember the name of that one.
Medicham.
So you can now unlock their Mega Evolutions in Pokemon Sun Moon. These Pokemon are not found in the wild in these games, so unfortunately you will have to transfer them over from Pokebank. This is a problem, of course, in that any item attached to those Pokemon when they transfer from the bank to the game will be removed. So this is a way to get around them not being able to Mega Evolve. I am very excited for this and cannot wait to get my stones after this recording.
Yeah, especially Mawile. I love Mawile.
And let me see. I think there was a date on this.
I saw a start date. I did not see an end date.
Yeah, usually these go for a while, so we'll definitely keep you posted if we hear anything otherwise. But you should probably hop on that. I know I will when I am back with my 3DS.
Excellent. We also have a product image of the upcoming Beware GX box. This is going to be released on June 2nd. It features foil promo and jumbo card of Beware GX, 4 booster packs, and a Pokemon trading card online game. Or code. So, super excited about this. The actual art on the code is art on the card is adorable, and Beware is amazing, so I cannot wait.
Yeah, Beware's possibly one of my favorite Sun Moon Pokemon. It's just so cute, and the anime silliness involving Beware just, like, adds to it.
Also, once again, gotta talk about its GX move, where it just essentially removes any Pokemon from play and all of the cards attached to it.
Oh my god, it's like what it does to Jesse and James and Meowth and Wobbuffet. It
yeah, so...
removes it.
That's pretty awesome.
Slackick?
In other TCG news, we have some product images available for the Tapu Koko pin collection that is coming out on June 2nd here in America and for our European friends, with a foil promo of Tapu Koko, a collector's pin, 3 booster packs, and a Pokemon trading card game code card.
Something that I think is really exciting is that you'll also be able to get this same promo card in a figure collection pack on May 19th in North America. As far as I know, that actually doesn't have a release date in Europe, but I prefer the figure collection ones over the pin ones, so
well, yeah, especially since you can get a Kapu Kokoko figurine.
Well, I think it's disappointing that they didn't release them both together. Like, in some of the bigger sets, you generally get a fig and a pin, so I kind of had hoped they were going to do that with this.
That would be nice, sort of the best of all worlds.
Yeah. But either way, I look forward to that in a month if you want the figure, or a month and a half if you want the pin collection.
And in our last news bit for the day, certainly last but not least, in honor of the 20th anniversary Pokemon movie, Pokemon I Choose You, there is a special promo running in Japan currently. I believe it's currently, until May 1st. And this is the original Cap Pikachu. So this is the Pikachu that wears the various ash hats.
You ash hat.
Shut up. From across the generations. It's available via serial codes, which you can get in Japan, but I don't see anything here about in America, which is also disappointing. This Pikachu also comes with a special Pikachu Electrum Z crystal, which turns the move Thunderbolt into the Z move 10 million volts Thunderbolt. This distribution is available until May 1st and will repeat in July, so be sure to get it. Then, also following this announcement, in Korokoro magazine, it was published that a Ho-Oh tie-in with the movie will be distributed in Japan also through serial code in August. So you can get that in the August issue of Korokoro magazine, due out on July 15th, 2017, the same day the movie releases.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting for those in Japan. And it does look like I misspoke about the red cap Pikachu. Those ones you get by pre-ordering or early purchasing your ticket for the movie in theaters in Japan. I wish that we were getting this here, but disappointed. That's basically all I got.
You never know.
And I believe with all that being said, we can now move on to a very special dual discussion topic.
D-U-E-L?
No.
Let's duel!
We're not going to...
That's this show, right?
No. I mean, I did read an amazing Tumblr Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel earlier that was... I'll show you guys later, but it involved a dog. That's all I really care about. But let's go ahead and move into our discussion. Spike, if you want to take it from this point...
All right. Well, the TLDR, of course, is that a big part of why we have not had an episode of Stab out in a while. I apologize. My computer started making noise. It's really not supposed to do that while we're recording. A big part of why we've had this delay is because Sulker and I spent 2 weeks in Japan. They were magical, lovely weeks. Psychic, do you have any questions about Japan?
Why wasn't I able to come along? The answer is because I'm broke, but...
No, the answer is because you would not have returned. I would not allow you to return.
Okay, he says that, but that wouldn't be a punishment. Like, I wish I were still there.
I just meant they wouldn't find the body there.
Why does everything have to be so mean with you?
So I actually do have a question.
Sure, what's up?
So, I mean... You know, I know that on our episode of Game Buoy where we talked about kind of just the gaming culture in Japan, that, you know, a lot more people are walking around with 3DSs and stuff. I'm curious, like, did you see a lot of people around with, like, you know, little Pokemon phone charms or, like, whatever? Like, what was the presence of Pokemon kind of outside of the Pokemon-specific places that you visited? Like, specifically the Poke Centers, like... and I guess that goes for just, like, kind of out and about in the public, as well as just Pokemon presence in other stores.
Okay, so...
Arcades, etc.
Let me first off say, for those of you who listen to this show but don't listen to GameBuoy.org...
GameBuoy.org!
You know, you can sort of view this conversation as the companion piece to the conversation we had over there last week. That episode is now posted on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org!
And I would recommend you check it out. With regard to your question, though, Psychic, I will say I actually didn't see a lot of adults with Pokemon stuff. I did see a lot of kids with Pokemon stuff, though. I saw Pokemon backpacks in the wild, Pokemon t-shirts in the wild, phone cases and what have you, but none of it on, like, adult fans. And, you know, I did see, like, adult Super Sentai fans and adult anime fans, like, a lot, but I did not really see many adult Pokemon fans outside of the Pokemon centers.
Disagree.
Okay, you have the floor.
So, it's not necessarily a big point, but anytime we were walking around near our Airbnb, or like not necessarily in Shinjuku very often, but I would definitely see people of an older age or a certain age, let's say, wandering around with their phones out, and then they would stop mid like stride to catch Pokemon on Pokemon Go. So the presence of that game there is not as prevalent as I would have expected, though I did see quite a few people across all age spectrums really playing that game out there. So,
and that was actually one of the bigger things for me that I had clocked, was that, you know, here I don't see a lot of old people playing Pokemon Go, whereas there I saw a lot of people in the like 50 and up bracket just getting their life on, walking, stopping to catch a Pokey, and then starting up to walk again. Like, I mean, I saw that more than 10 times.
Yeah, that was a pretty much a frequent or a daily occurrence at that point. I agree with you that I didn't really see a whole lot of Poke merch on people at like above like the age of 12, but maybe we just weren't looking because we were distracted by literally everything at every beautiful second of that place.
That is a fair point, absolutely. Was there a part of your question that I'm neglecting, Slaggy?
I guess just like kind of in non-Pokemon Center shops, like, you see like a lot of Pokemon, like, plushies at, you know, like, rando game shops, or even in, like, arcades or, like, I don't know, diners or whatever.
All right, we should probably structure this next part, because that's a lot of things to talk about.
Well, hold on, because the first thing I want to say here is that I did see Pokemon presents in every arcade we went to, whether it had any connection to Pokemon Center or not, via a current game that's reasonably popular in Japan called Pokemon Ga Olay.
I love that game so much.
Right? This is sort of like the newest game in the line of games that had started with, like, Bat-Trio and Treta, but instead of like
that
metals,
trio sounds like a duck trio bat,
right? Instead of, you know, metals or what have you, this game uses like plastic card chits. It prints on the cards in real time, like when you're playing them, and it's sort of this really weird, like, 1-on-2 or 2-on-2 Pokemon fighting game that has like rhythm game elements and like strategy RPG elements. But the interesting thing is, after you finished fighting the two Pokemon using two of your own Pokemon, you are given the option to buy a chit of one of those two Pokemon so that it can join your party the next time you play.
And you're like, ooh, this my chit, this my chit.
Sulker, it sounds like you want to add on to this.
Yeah, so the best part about the capturing phase, I find, is, so to touch a bit on the mechanics of it, once you have done enough damage through kind of a roulette wheel damage system, or if time runs out, because it essentially gives you, for each point of damage you do, you're increasing the percentage chance that you're going to catch the Pokemon, just like in the games, or the handheld games. With this, you have a certain time limit where if you don't beat it down to 100%, you still have the option to catch. You may not catch it, theoretically. You pop in 100 yen, and you select which Pokemon you want to catch, and then, like, it spins with a series of Pokeballs that you might get, like, a standard Pokeball or a Master Ball. And then, when you throw it, that Pokeball, like, catches it, and that particular ball prints to the card, which I just thought was a nice little touch. But that's all I have to say on the capture phase.
Here, Slagkick, if you want to look over here real quick, this is my Nyabby chit.
Oh!
Right? So, this is actually the first one that I got. I'm super into it. Sulker got it for me, actually, from one of his games.
Yeah, that was after I used a Mokuro and a Solandit to catch that, yeah.
Yeah, I believe so. You know, I thought it was neat that even though it has this sort of, like, almost randomized attack wheel, and, you know, it does, like, a roulette wheel for, like, your defense, the game does take, like, type advantage into account, so, you know, obviously using, like, a Nyabby against, like, a grass type is gonna suit you well. It just was a really cool Pokemon experience, and I'm kind of bummed that I don't know where I could play one of these machines in North America.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be... you know, even if they, like, partnered with Dave & Buster's or something. Like, I mean, I know they just opened a Dave & Buster's at my local mall that's literally down the street from me. And, like, so, I mean, I could imagine that, you know.
Yeah, this game would do well at a Dave & Buster's.
Well, before we move on from talking about this game, I just have to talk about the most adorable thing I ever saw related to it.
Yeah, go for it.
When we were at, I want to say the Osaka Pokemon Center, there was that little kid who was trying to catch Solgaleo because while we were there, was the Solgaleo event happening in this game where you could basically get a higher percentage chance of catching him. And this little kid, every time he threw a Pokeball, was just like dropped to his knees praying to catch it.
Literally praying, like aww, clapping his hands together and everything.
He didn't catch it, which was sad, but it was still adorable watching.
This is the start of a very dark shonen anime.
And that actually, you know, that ties into, I will say, you know, we did also see machines of this at every Poke Center we went to. It was being played at most arcades, but at all of the Poke Centers it was being played.
What about Poke?
A lot of times, and I'll answer that. I'm happy to answer that. But a lot of times there would be like parents who were themselves super into playing Gaole, who would be like teaching their kids how to play. And, you know, I saw one particular adult who I think was with the kid that Sulker was just talking about, who had already had the Solgaleo, and he had like literally a basket full of chits. So it was just really cool and really interesting because I feel like I don't really see interactions like that here in North American arcades.
No. Not at all. I guess while we're still on the topic of arcades and Pokemon presence, like every time we walked into any single arcade, there was like the ground level was claw capture machines.
Yes.
And without variation, there was always at least like four or five machines that had various Pokemon, whether they were the Pikachus wearing like little sleeping bags of the Eeveelutions or the Pokemon inside like Christmas stockings, which I was like, the time of year is off, but why not? And then like just Alolan Pokemon like Mimikyu,
keychains,
you name it, it was probably in a claw capture machine there.
Yeah, and Sidekick, you had asked about Pokken Tournament. Pokken Tournament,
it rest in peace.
Yeah, girl, it really was a rough spot. I saw a couple Pokken Tournament machines throughout Japan, but when you consider the number of arcades I went to, it was an embarrassingly low number. I even saw a lot of arcades that still had promo artwork up, even had artwork up of like the newer post-patch characters, yet still did not have a machine running. We did see machines running at nearly every Poke Center, but no one was playing them.
There was that one set of kids that one of them, so one out of four.
If you can literally think back and remember a specific pair of kids 3 weeks later from like the most whirlwind magical trip ever, that should tell you a lot about how uncommon an occurrence that was.
Yeah, I think I only really remember seeing Pokken at one arcade somewhere in Shinjuku, and nobody was playing it. And there was only one, so you couldn't, like, pair with other people.
Yeah, you know, and I will say part of why I think maybe the arcade game is not doing so well is the first time you play it, it makes you play the tutorial, and the tutorial for Pokken Tournament is awful and long and slow.
Well, like, Slow.
Yeah, like, the arcade version is probably, like, a 15-minute tutorial, and I just wanted to die.
I will say the new post-patch characters that we don't have here in the Wii U version yet, they are all really cool. I was actually pretty impressed to the degree that, you know, if they were in the home version, I'd probably play the home version a little bit.
Yeah, I would play that for Empoleon at the very minimum.
Yeah. I was actually really impressed with the newer movesets and mechanics and stuff, but it sucks that it's stuck in that.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a Pokken 2 one day that will take care of that for us.
Fingers crossed. All right, well, do you have any other questions, Slykick?
Not really. So you went to four Pokemon centers?
Oh, wait, before with that, the presence of Pokemon stuff...
I was just going to say that, yeah.
At outside of Pokemon centers, amazingly prevalent. We went to several book-offs, which always had Pokemon stuff. You can find Pokemon things in Gashapon machines, like, on every street you go to. At the book-off we went to, I bought, what is Iwanko's... Evolution in Japan.
Whatever Lycan Rock is in Japan.
Yeah, I got the GX card of that for like 600 yen. And then,
it's like six American dollars or less.
Yeah, and then I also found a shiny Arcanine and an Articuno card just because I thought those were cute little additions.
Ooh.
They're obviously in Japanese and will never make it into my collections, but I think they're nice little like memorabilia at this point.
Nice mementos.
At the Gashapon machines, there are various sets that were like really big during the time we were there. My favorite being the sleeping Pokemon. So it's the three starters, Iwanko and Pikachu, all taking little naps. Super
aww.
Cute. And yeah, I spent quite a few American dollars on that. I'm not proud of the number there. But
you got them all.
True. Same thing happened at Pokemon Centers where we got the Pikachu villains team's Pokemon. So, like, we got all the little figures from Rocket to Skull, basically.
It's Pikachu wearing the evil team costumes.
Yeah, those
they're
are
adorable.
So cute.
Yeah. And then, like, what was the other store?
There was also a Ditto set.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's part of the Pokemon Center stuff.
Okay. I mean, I saw them at not Pokemon Center, but we did most of them at a Pokemon Center.
Okay, yeah. So there was, like, while we were there, Series 2, I believe, released, which had Vulpix, Haunter, Clefairy, I want to say? A couple other Pokies, and we didn't get that full set, but we did get most of them. The Pokemon Z Crystals are in Gashapon machines right now, which we did get a full set of whatever series was out while we were there.
Ironically, several of them are ones that come with the bracelet here in North America.
Frustratingly so. But what was that other store? Not Book Off. Yorobashi. Yorobashi had a large Pokemon section, like an entire row filled with plushes.
Oh, and, yeah.
Other figurines and stuff that you could also get at Pokemon centers, but some other stuff that just didn't seem like it was in rotation at the centers currently.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the Pokemon centers, and I'm going to be relying on you, Sulker, for this, because it feels like every time we made it to a Pokemon center, I had something wrong with me. So let's talk a little bit about Poke centers. What the first time we hit a Poke center, how did you feel? Like, what was it like?
It was like coming home, like after a really long day, and realizing, wow, that day was really long, and now I'm finally happy to be home. Because you walk in, and the first one we went to was the Osaka one, which had a giant Pokemon or Monster Ball globe in the center between Solgaleo and Lunala.
And these are like human-sized statues of Solgaleo and Lunala.
Yeah, and the ball itself like is a hollow projection, so I believe they like change the one that it is at a given time, and it like spins and stops for like optimal picture taking. It's cute. And then you walk in, and it's just like row after row after row of plush, toy, collectible, like little napkins, little bento boxes, like card sleeves for the Pokemon card game. It's a little overwhelming in some ways, in that like you want to get to look at everything, but there's so much that you just feel like, I'll just see what I can see with my eyes now and get what I get. My only real complaint with Pokemon centers, or at least that particular trip, was that I only found one Growlithe related thing, which was like, it ended up being pretty cute. It was like a little plasticky butt thing. Like, it's Growlithe's butt, and it's just, like, a cute little, like, stress ball thing.
And that was really weird, because we ended up finding, like, this whole line of merchandise that were just, like, Poke butts. Like, they were, like, the rear ends of Pokemon.
Yeah, I bought, Twitter user at Dark Shifter, a Piplup coin purse that was also a butt. So...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's weird, but cute. What else do I have to say about Pokemon centers? They were always, like even for stores there, like, it was strangely overpopulated. But, like, obviously people from outside of various towns will come and, like, see some of the regional stuff. Or just tourists like us will go in and be like, I must buy all the things. I bought way too many of all the things. I got these, the three starters as socks in...
Aww.
I think we got that at Tokyo Skytree.
That was at Skytree, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess for the listener's sake, so we hit 4 Pokemon centers. Tokyo Sky Tree Tower was our last one. Our first one was the Osaka Pokemon Center. We also did Mega Tokyo Pokemon Center,
which is located in Ikebukuro,
and the Kyoto Pokemon Center. Each of these had a different vibe to them, though they were all in malls, essentially. It seemed like they catered to the space that they were in. Each one had a different set of, like, statues. So all of them would have, like, Solgaleo and Lunala, because obviously they're the Sun Moon legendaries, so they're trying to push that hard. But, like, in one we found they had the, like, Mega Charizard X, and then, like, the original three starters, like, floating around in various statue forms.
Yeah.
Then there was Cyndaquil, Mudkip, and what's the other one? What's the one from that series? The grass one from that season or year?
Was that Chikorita?
Yeah, Chikorita.
Don't you mean Totodile?
Was it Totodile?
Totodile.
I have seen so many of them that I just don't remember what we saw where. But so yeah, they had the Gen 2 starters, which I took a picture of Cyndaquil for my friend, and he got very excited because he's a Cyndaquil stan.
So, like, I know you said that each one was kind of, like, catered to the space it was in, but were they decorated pretty similarly, aside from the statues?
They did definitely have a uniform aesthetic, even if, like, the identities of, like, the featured focus Pokies were different. They were definitely very much, you know, like, Poke Centers. They all had, like, this sort of very, like, flat lines and curves and round shapes. Like, they were Poke Centers.
All very, like, white walls and floors.
Yeah. I mean, it was like walking in a Poke Center.
Oh, I should also mention that we were there during Pikachu's Easter event.
Oh, yeah.
Which they had these little eggs that you could just kind of like go through, and inside it was like a blind box basically, but you could get like keychains with Pikachu wearing like flowers or holding an egg or something. Very cute stuff. I did get one of those, and it was Pikachu wearing flowers. One nice little touch that I just remembered is when some of the people like who work there would walk by you, they would say Alola.
Alola. Aww.
And I just thought that was really a nice little touch.
And please tell me that you said Alola back to them.
Obviously.
Alola.
I will say, you know, the first time they did it, because they even did the hand thing, and I was just like so stunned, I was like speechless. But after that, yes, I did begin to respond correctly.
Pokemon jewelry, Pokemon... Oh, let's talk about the regional things, like how they have different...
Oh, like in Kyoto, where we found, like, the Shrine Miko Pikachu for the Hanami Festival.
Yeah, so we found those. We didn't, unfortunately, make it to the Sapporo Pokemon Center, which has the wood carvings.
It's several hundred miles north of Tokyo, and we,
there's always next trip.
Yeah, next trip will be a thing. And, you know, we did make it several hundred miles west of Tokyo, but we never made it north, so...
Oh, I don't know if this was an exclusive, but finding the Popplio / Ashimari that was wearing the Tapu Kokeko, beanie and balancing a Rowlet snowball...
Yes!
Managed to find one of those and snag that.
That was the cutest.
We also bought some of the plushies of the Pikachu, or the villain Pikachus. What else?
Yeah, I have a plushie Team Skull Pikachu. It kind of makes my whole life.
We also got Alolan Raichu, which was pretty cool.
Pancakey desk.
Oh, right, the Ditto series. So, we previously, I think, on the show have talked about the Ditto series of Pokemon. While we were there, a new series released, which did include Snorlax and Clefairy, which I got both of those. There were several other Pokemon in that set, but by that point in the trip, I was talking.
I saw something on that was retweeted on Twitter that where it's like a Ditto that unzips and then turns into other Pokemon. Is that the same Ditto line?
Yeah, so they released these... So they're essentially like little baggies, basically, where on the cover, like, you'll have one side that's, or like one fold that's Pikachu. Then if you unzip it, pull out the insides, it becomes a Raichu. Or if you open that one up and pull out the insides, it becomes a Pichu. So, like, but they all have that little Ditto face. So it's nice because it transforms or evolves itself,
but
while looking like Dittos.
Because I saw one, maybe it was because I think it was maybe the Snorlax one, where it was just a Ditto. But then, no, the Snorlax has Munchlax. But I swear I saw one where it was just like a straight up ditto, and then it turned into something else.
I mean, that could be a thing. I did not see any that
either way,
that.
I'm glad that it's like the same vibe, because I thought it was really cool. It could have been old, though, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And it seems like things rotate through there pretty quickly. We reported on the show previously about the Mario and Luigi Pikachu set. And that was basically being phased out by the time we were there, so we only saw a couple pieces of merch for that. I did manage to snag the little box holder that comes with a set of card sleeves for the Pokemon card game. This one came with a Luigi Pikachu, so that was pretty cool.
Luigi Pikachu card.
Yeah. Luigi Pikachu card. Sorry, I thought that was implied by what I was saying about the card game. I don't know. I think there was one other thing, like a card box inside of the box, but I don't recall. Were there any things that you were really excited that you got while you were there, Spike?
We've talked about most of it here at this point. I got quite a few stuffed animals. I also bought a ton of Pokemon, folders. I bought a Pokemon coloring book. I was looking for a notebook while I was there, so I went to the local, non-chain store equivalent to, a crafting store, like a Michaels, except it was in Japan and not a chain. And they had Pokemon everything, so I got, a Pokemon Pikachu patch to iron onto my luggage. I got a notebook while I was there that was Pokemon themed. That was something I thought was really cool. You know, you went to, the supermarket and you could get all kinds of, Pokemon themed beverages. I picked up Pokemon everything while I was there.
And it was Pikachu largely, was it a high percentage of Pikachu compared to the others?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Pikachu is definitely the face of Pokemon in Japan.
Which is funny because he wasn't even voted the number one back on that poll about a year or so ago.
I mean, whatever the poll's results were, it does not match what you see when you're there.
Yeah, Pikachu is everywhere, even on this coin purse that I am now showing you.
That's super cute. So I think my final question, and I'm not saying that this has to wrap up your part of the conversation, but the last question that I really have as someone who did not experience this but is hearing about it is, if people were planning a trip to Japan as a Pokemaniac, kind of what advice you would give them, or if there's anything that they must see, must do. I mean, I guess aside from the Poke Centers, really.
Well, and I was going to say, just hit as many Poke Centers as you can.
My advice would be, if you're going to go to a Pokemon Center, plan a day for it and put it early in your day. Because while you're traveling, your feet are going to get tired, you're going to get hungry, you're going to, be burdened down by, other things that you purchase. So make it a point to, have a plan for how you're going to, I assume if you listen to this podcast, you're a little crazy about Pokemon like I am. Just make it a point to get what you want from the store before you really have a day. Otherwise, you might show up before they're closing, you might show up, and find that you really don't have the energy levels to really think about what you're buying. So make it a priority.
Oh, and yeah, and I do want to point out, I know that Sulker had noted this, but I just want to make it clear, these stores are all almost uniformly a part of larger malls. So in some cases we ended up having to search for a good 15-20 minutes once we had made it to the right building just to find the store. So also keep that in mind, and you know, don't get too discouraged if you're struggling to find a Poke Center, because we had times where we were we went too far, or we were on the wrong floor of a high-rise building. It can be complex, but it is worth it.
Well, agreed. Excellent. If you have any specific questions about Pokemon Centers, I'd be happy to answer them over on Twitter. But if there are no further questions or clarifications or discussion points, I believe this takes us into our anime discussion, no?
Let's anime it up.
All right. So today we're going to go ahead and talk about Sun and Moon, episodes 17, 18, and 19, as well as Pokemon Generations 16, 17, and 18. So we've got a lot to cover, so let's jump right in. Sun and Moon, Episode 17, Alola Detective Rotom, The Mystery of the Lost Crystal. Satoshi's Electrium Z crystal is missing. Rotom, who is a big fan of an Alolan detective TV show, is prompted to try and find it with Pikachu as his assistant. In the meantime, Satoshi and the other students are all desperate to keep Kaki, the only other Z-ring wearer, from finding out about the missing Z crystal for fear of his anger. However, the solution to the case may be even more surprising than anyone thinks. Also, Rotom gets a new video camera function. So I really enjoyed this episode. I know that it does come off as a little fillery in some aspects, but I really liked it. My highlights for the episode are just Rotom and Kakui basically having, like, bro moments of, like, really loving their detective show together and kind of being otaku about it. The way that Pikachu and Rotom kind of work together, though, you get a sense that Pikachu's just trying to tell Rotom the answers the whole time. And the animation bits with Kaki basically freaking out every time it's about to, like, come out that the Z crystal's missing. Because, again, they're going with that really stylized animation that, again, screams back to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And to basically spoil the ending, we find out that the missing Z crystal situation came about from Satoshi putting the Electrium Z crystal in his pocket, sleepily putting it on a desk where Rotom, who's been wearing a wig for the majority of this issue, decides that it's time to stop being on RuPaul's Drag Race and takes off his hair and accidentally places it on the Z crystal, where it gets stuck for the majority of the episode. Of course, Pikachu knew this and was trying to tell everyone the whole time.
Yep.
What are your guys' thoughts on this specific episode? Let's go ahead and start with Slidekick.
I thought it was silly. You know, I feel like this is the type of plot of an episode that you would not have seen in, like, the older animes, because it was like, let's help this person. This person has a special Pokemon. Oh, Team Rocket's gonna try to steal both the Pokemon and Pikachu. So I feel like this sort of silly romp is something that you wouldn't have gotten in an earlier episode. Even if it didn't contribute really to a larger plot, it was silly. I really liked the moment where the janitor, she's talking to Rotom, and she's like, oh, I like the Alolan Detective Show, too. We can be friends.
Yep. You know, like, fandoms will bring people together.
And I also, the only thing is that, like, that wig was screaming Alolan Duck Trio to me.
Oh, yeah.
So I was, like, hoping that they were like, we just need to get rid of that wig, and they toss it out the window or something, and it lands on Alolan Duck Trio.
That would have been hilarious.
Been like, oh, that looks so fabulous.
I actually was waiting for an Alolan Duck Trio to come into play there, because it just seemed so obvious.
And they had an Alolan Diglett pop up.
It's true, that did happen.
I thought that this was a fun episode, but it felt very fillery to me. And not necessarily in a bad way. I know that Sulker had referenced, you know, that he wouldn't call it filler. I would. In fact, I would say that of the three episodes we're talking about tonight, I would call two of them filler. And yet I enjoyed both of them, which I think really goes to show how strong Sun and Moon has really shaped up to be. I thought this was a really fun episode. It's definitely one that I would show to someone who's interested in getting into the Pokemon on anime at this point.
My closing thought on this one is that Rotom getting the new Dex feature for recording things is very in line with the video game.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool that he is starting to get upgrades, and we got that cool little, like, tech animation where he gets upgraded. Watch this episode if you haven't, folks. Moving on, Sun and Moon, episode 19... Ooh, I'm sorry, episode 18! Maji, Mao's cooking operation. Mao invites the whole class over to her restaurant to taste her version of Alola's legendary stew. Unfortunately, her use of Pikachu's electric shock to cook does not go over so well. It turns out that she's missing an important ingredient, the rare Yamabuki honey. So Satoshi and Pikachu decide to help Mao gather the honey. Their plan is to use Odori Dori to find it, but finding one is not so easy. Meanwhile, Satoshi's Mokuro seems to have developed feelings for Mao's Amakaji. but the feelings are not reciprocated. Rocket Don, Team Rocket, turns up once again, but this time instead of stealing Pikachu, they plan to steal the Yamabuki honey. However, their interference causes Amakaji to evolve into Amamakiko with a devastating slap attack. So I enjoyed this episode. I mean, I guess that's kind of the point of the show for me, is that I enjoy every episode of this anime pretty much. Some highlights. The cooking sequence in the opening was pretty funny because everyone's getting electric shocked by eating this food that Mao made that somehow retains electricity despite the fact that it's not currently receiving an active current. Electricity doesn't work that way, Pokemon. What else? I also really did like the Rowlet slash Mokuro falling in love for Amakaji. I just thought it was really cute to see him have these little feelings and then get rebuffed.
And getting that, little blushy cheeks.
Yeah, and then at the end with Amamakiko not, like, really being aware of the crush anymore and, like, accidentally slapping him aside. Plus, it was, like, fun to see, like, the little bird dancer things, I guess. What are your thoughts on this one? We'll start with Spike.
I thought this was another fun episode. I did struggle a little with, like, okay, if she cooked this food with electricity, people trying to eat it 20 minutes later, they're not just going to get shocked. Like, this doesn't make logical sense. But I should really just sit back and relax, clearly. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I, like you, really enjoyed the Amakaji-Mokuro romance. Would-be romance. I thought Mokuro was looking super adorbs. And, obviously, I'm always interested in Pokemon being super cute, but little bit of a drag that this episode, like the episode before, didn't meaningfully develop our characters in any way, you know. So, you know, for me, that's sort of the definition of a filler episode. Our characters ended in the same point they begun, but at least we had a good time. I wouldn't skip this episode on a rewatch. It was fun.
And Rakuto Dan spruced up their hideout, so that was cool.
Yeah, that was a nice little addition to the episode.
I was happy to see a Pokemon evolve, finally.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really get that in this show very often.
So that's cool. I like Amamaiko a lot, and I thought that it was cool that they showed the Odoridori in the fire-type one, sipping the nectar and then turning into the electric-type one.
Yeah.
Even if I don't really like Odoridori in the game, because it learns none of its other elemental attacks, like, which is kind of a waste, I think. But
yeah. Oh, well. With all that, let's move on to episode 19, Intense Electric Shock Training, a rematch with Kapu Kokeko. Satoshi needs to begin training for a potential rematch against Kapu Kokeko. Mamane helps out with scientific methods that yield surprising results. Naturally, this arouses Kapu Kokeko's interest. Kapu Kokeko challenges Satoshi and Pikachu with the whole Pokemon school looking on. Are Satoshi and Pikachu strong enough with the Electrum Z crystal to withstand the Island Guardian's powerful attacks? The answer may surprise you. Anyways, this episode was pretty fun, I thought. This was probably the one that Spike will say was not a spoiler and helped, like, move the story along or whatever, which he would be absolutely 100% correct on. So in this one, we basically get Pikachu and Ash training to get stronger. Maname helps them through his scientific lab that his parents built for him in, like, a shed in the backyard. Turns out that if Ash and Pikachu, like, exert themselves physically, the Z-Crystals react to that, and then we get to see some really awesome combat on the back end of the, episode. Let's go ahead and kick it to Slagkick for his thoughts on this episode.
I thought it was really cool to see the Kapu Kokeko battle. It was, you know, that's definitely kind of like a big event. I thought the Mamane stuff was a little LOL. But I liked his family, and that they were just kind of like, they seemed really supportive of their son, and they're just like, oh, we're going to cook, and, you know, eat as much as you want, you know, so, like, they just, like, they were kind of cute, but Mamane's kind of a little bit of a spoiled brat, too, so I'm just like, really? But overall, I mean, I thought the Kapu Kokoko parts were great, so.
Excellent.
And Spike, your thoughts?
It was a good episode with some good animation. Actually, that's something that needs to be called out for all of these episodes. The animation quality in this show is fantastic. And in particular, across all three episodes, there were some really incredible, like, reaction shots that I think deserve special attention as well.
Yeah, we've come quite a way since Gul'dan gliding across the screen.
Yeah, that really was a rough spot. So I recommend you check out this episode of Sun and Moon. Let's go ahead and change gears real quick to Pokemon Generations, Episode 16, The Beauty Eternal. Lysander, CEO of Lysander Labs, goes about his day giving press speeches, meeting women, and presenting his company's latest technology, all the while hiding a sinister plot from the people of Kalos. So this one basically just kind of summarizes Lysander's arc throughout Pokemon XY. Look, I'm a villain who's putting out some cool technology to get people to trust me. Oh, look, I'm awakening one of these legendary Pokemon that happened to destroy a town. I thought it was a nice little, like, slice of life piece for him. What do you think about this one, Spike?
I don't have a ton to say. It's a good episode. Again, as always with Generations, we get a taste when what I want is a meal. But, you know, again, it is an interesting look at Lysander. And, you know, it certainly, if the animation of the main series had followed the plot of the games a little more, I think I would have been really into this as, like, a lead into that. As it stands, it just makes me wish that there were more.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is that with a lot of these villain moments, we see, like, when their ultimate thing is about to happen. And I felt like so much of it was, like, during his day job stuff that I would have rather just seen a recreation of, like, the Yveltal Awakening, which is, like, what it was starting to happen at the very end. I would have rather had that be the entire focus.
Yeah, and that would have been pretty awesome, I think, but we got what we got with Pokemon Generations, which was short little snippets that
fan service
basically left you hungry and blue-balled. Episodes of Generation 17, The Investigation. I feel like they're all the investigation when Looker's involved. Detective Looker and
yes,
Mimi.
Yes, Looker's a looker.
He really is, though.
Yeah, Looker, the Looker, and Mimi and Esper pursue the masked Pokemon thief Essentia, suspecting that she is Emma, their kind and innocent assistant. This episode bothered me only in that we see this Pokemon thief, like, one, snatching Pokemon, and two, kicking the hell out of that Esper, and yeah, that just made me friggin' sad. Yeah, it turns out it's Emma. She's the villain of the piece. And maybe brainwashed, we're not sure, we're not really given the information. Let me ask you guys, did this actually happen in the games? Because I do not remember
this. It was from
this.
The XY post-game.
Oh, I didn't do a whole lot of that, I just
me
jumped
either,
into Ivy breeding.
I had to look up while we were getting ready to record.
Well, I'm not here for it. I love Esper. F you.
All right, with that being said, our last episode for Generations, this will end our Generations discussion, gentlemen, so
I'm simultaneously happy and sad.
So make this a good one. Episode 18, The Redemption. Kalos' new champion, the male player from X and Y, is approached by AZ for a battle while a mother tells her daughter AZ's story about Floette and the ultimate weapon that was used to end the Pokemon War. This one, it retells one of my favorite stories, that you get in Pokemon XY, which is mostly alluded to throughout that story and then explicitly explained at the end. I really, like, I remember beating that during my first year of Extra Life and just being like, I didn't expect to get emotional all of a sudden at the end of a Pokemon game. I should have thought better. So I really enjoyed having that moment reproduced for me in anime version. I wish we'd gotten to see a little bit more of the fight, maybe a little bit more of, like, actual animation throughout the flashback sequences. But overall, I thought it was a great end cap to Pokemon Generations. I believe we started Spike last time. Let's go Psychic.
Yeah, I overall really liked this. I thought, like you said, that the AZ stuff was one of my favorite moments, or, like, one of my favorite threads of the story throughout X and Y. Even if it's weird that he's 9 feet and 9 feet tall and 3,000 years old, like, I don't get how, but, like, I really found him to be a compelling character in that game.
Right.
So to see him in, like, I mean, the thing is, like, you see him, he's, like, this tall man with, like, long white hair, kind of, like, disheveled looking, and, like, so, I mean, this goes back to the game, too. Like, you would expect him to have some, like, really gritty Pokemon, but nope, it's a Floette.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's something, innocence of youth, something, eternal suffering. And what about you, Spike?
you know, I like this story a lot in the game. I like it a lot here. Really just makes me wish that Pokemon Generations had gone on longer and that we had gotten more stories about the lore from X and Y, because I thought X and Y had fantastic lore, super underserved by Generations.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Pokemon Generations was a very nice series while it lasted. I wish that they had done more with it, or maybe will do more with it in the future. I don't think that's going to happen, but it'd be nice. It would also be nice if we, now that Sun and Moon has been out for a while, if they did three little pieces for that as well. That would be nice for my life. But yeah, that's it. We say a fond farewell to Pokemon Generations and the little tastes of awesome that it gave us.
Alola!
Alola!
And now let's go ahead and kick it over to Slagkick for our Pokemon of the Week.
Our Pokemon of the Week is Farfetch'd, or Kamonegi in Japanese. Farfetch'd is the wild duck Pokemon, number 83 in the original Dex, a dual-type normal and flying Pokemon introduced in Generation 1. Its red and blue Pokédex entry is the sprig of green onions it holds as its weapon. It is used much like a metal sword. So, Farfetch'd is a brown duck with a white underbelly, a yellow beak, and a V-shaped black marking on its forehead, and large wings that are prehensile so they can hold its leek or spring onion. Apparently, this stick of onion, without it, it's unable to live, so it defends the stalk with its life. So it's been used as a weapon, a nesting material, and an emergency food source. And it, sometimes Farfetch'd will fight over good onions to have. And Farfetch'd also are apparently served as food in the Pokemon world. So
sad.
Yeah. But Farfetch'd is a cute little ducky. His first major appearance in the anime was so near yet so Farfetch'd, with an owner named Keith who actually used Farfetch'd to steal other trainers' Pokemon. So that was kind of a little bit shady. There was a way off day off where Farfetch'd lived on a desert island. A Farfetch'd tale where a Farfetch'd was owned by a trainer named Sylvester who was trying to learn to make charcoal using Farfetch'd cut attack. In the games, one of the earliest notable appearances is you can trade I don't remember what you can trade, but you can get a Farfetch'd named Dux in the original games, at least in Yellow, because I believe somewhere near like Vermilion City or something. So I definitely remember always getting a Dux on my team, and he's a good little flying type for, you know, a while, and levels up fast because he's traded, so super cool. In Gold, Silver, and Crystal, though, this is one of my favorite Farfetch'd moments, is where, kind of similar to the charcoal moments, that in Azalea Town, that the charcoal makers own a Farfetch'd, but it runs off to Ilex Forest. And so you have to kind of chase him around and trap him so that you can get HM1 cut. In Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon, Farfetch'd is the teacher of the hero and partner at the Serene Village School. So, that is maybe that's what I'll play, is Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon, since that was a pretty recent one, and apparently has a super cute little
Farfetch'd,
yeah.
Yeah, Super Mystery Dungeon is kind of a blast. I started it about a month and a half ago. Since the Nintendo Switch came out, I haven't been playing it as much, but it's a really fun game.
Excellent.
I would recommend it, especially if you're interested in getting into the Mystery Dungeon games, but maybe haven't yet. This is a pretty good one to start on, I'd say.
One little final tidbit about Farfetch'd that's kind of funny is that in pretty much every other language, is that his name means something to do with onion and duck. But Farfetch'd, like, I have no idea where that came from.
America.
Jelly donuts.
Well, you know, there's like a saying in Japan about like a duck always brings a spring onion or something. And it's supposed to talk about like, you know, sometimes really fortunate coincidences occur. And I think that is probably the angle that they were going for Farfetch'd.
Yeah, but they could have made his name like Mallard and Scallion and been like Scallyard.
I want to be super mad at you right now, but actually that would have been a pretty good name.
I want to be somewhere else right now.
All right, well then, maybe we need to wrap this show up. Do we have some link cables today?
We have one piece of feedback about our question of the week, which was that you two were sharing your Poke experiences. Adolfo R. wanted to hear about the Poke Center, so hopefully Adolfo R. got the information that he was hoping for about the Poke Centers. And if you would like to give us any feedback, whether it's to a question of the week via our link cables or just any time, we love your feedback. We love your iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your Facebook likes. We effing love Twitter. I believe we tumble sometimes, right?
Periodically, we tumble.
We also, you can mail us at mail@stabcast.org or visit stabcast.org for all our episodes.
Stabcast.org.
Spike, shout out to some other great podcasts.
Yes, as ever and always, I'd like to shout out to the Voice of Geeks Network over at vognetwork.com. You can hear such shows as PokeStop. Join podcasting veterans Rob Roberts and Shane Olenko for a regular chat on Pokemon topics like the handheld games, Pokemon Go. You can also hear GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Where Psychic and I talk monthly about left-of-center gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. And last, but definitely not least, myself and Shane Olenko talk about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series, as well as the current season of the Super Sentai meta series on Ranger Pridecast. I highly recommend you check it out. We have a really good time on that show. And Slaggy, what about you?
Well, speaking of the Voice and Geeks Network, one of their flagship shows is Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice, and to basically whom we owe our podcasting existence, that has Techmaster Loki, Dark Sakura, and, of course, Rob Roberts. And the reason I mention Rob Roberts is because he also joins us on Reading's Fundamental, which is a podcast for myself, you, Trainer Spike, Rob Roberts, and Delvin from the Video Game Realness podcast. Serve tea and dish on everything RuPaul's Drag Race on tea. We're currently on season, talking about season 9 of the show, and it got renewed for a 10th season, which we haven't even talked about yet, because that news just came out, like, the other day. But, so we'll probably be back for that one, too. A lot of fun talking about sassy drag queens.
Yeah, Sucker. Slay.
It's super effective, PKM and Cast, a Pokemon website for news and reviews that explore the ins and outs of the Pokemon franchise, covering the games, anime, and beyond. All this and a weekly podcast. Mythical Schools and Slowpokes.
Slow.
Taking two of the best aspects of geek life, GM Whitewing hosts a troop of unlikely heroes as they explore the Pokemon worlds of the past, with classic D&D classes and villains. They recently aired their season 2.5. As I mentioned, the title for that is Schools and Slowpokes, which acts as a prequel to the story from season 1 and 2. So go ahead and check that out if you want to hear some teen angst stories. I'd also like to shout out to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is a trusted healthcare provider and informed educator, a passionate advocate and global partner helping similar organizations around the world. Planned Parenthood delivers vital reproductive health care, sex education, and information to millions of men and women and young people across the world. The Trevor Project, founded in 1998 by the creators of the Academy Award-winning short film Trevor. The Trevor Project is the leading national organization for crisis intervention and suicide prevention services for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning young people ages 13 to 24. And Slagkick, I'll kick it back to you because I believe we have music.
We do. We have music. It's cool. Our music is Professor Sycamore's theme, covered by Nate Wants to Battle, a.k.a. Nathan Sharp. Or I should say that the other way around, rather. Nathan Sharp is a well-known YouTuber who does covers of all sorts of video game anime things and does some parodies. He's a really talented dude, so go support him. He has stuff on iTunes and stuff, and go check it out.
Excellent, excellent. All right, guys, that about wraps it up for today's episode. Thank you so much for spending this lovely Sunday evening with us. I hope you've had half as much fun listening as we've had talking. We will be back at you in a week or two, but until then, keep catching, keep training, and dengeki mo tokun kapu kokeko no to no saisen.
Kamonegi, kimi ni kimeta.
Please make sure the bed is empty before getting in it.
Alola?
Alola! I really want a jelly donut.
You could please speak into your mic for me?
Speaking into my mic for me.
Slykick, if you could speak in your mic for me.
It is on the ground on top of an Inhumans versus X-Men comic.
So it is.
It was on the ground next to, or on top of, rather, an Inhumans versus X-Men comic.